Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour satellite soiree. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, New Mexico to New Orleans, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with a Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage.
Good morning. How are you?
So glad you're with us on a fine Thursday. Big show coming up for you this morning on the program. We've got Don Beebe, who's going to join us here on the show. You might remember him from 4 Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills, and then also a Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, the Brett Favre Championship of 1996, played in 5 Super Bowls. So we'll talk to Mr. Don Beebe about that coming up here on the show in hour number 4. Also coming up this morning on the program, did the Big 12 get the punishments right on KU and K-State after the brawl? The short answer is no.
You are a machine of death.
We've got Gritty, the mascot in Philadelphia, allegedly punching a 13-year-old. Oh, that's so Philly. We've got Eli Manning walking away, retiring. We'll discuss how he will be remembered. The Packers came out flat against the Niners, and Matt LaFleur expressed his displeasure yesterday with that. The Dolphins are circling around Joe Burrow, and perhaps most important today, how did Mr. Peanut die?
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
We are tackling all of those topics this morning here on a Thursday edition of The Da. We are also stunned to a news in hour number 3. All of that coming up this morning on the show. And as always, we encourage interaction from you, the D-Aliens, via social media and via the phones. Now, on the phones, here it is, toll-free, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS. Follow me and interact there. But the story of the morning is Zion Williamson. Last night, against the San Antonio Spurs, Zion made his return to the basketball court. He had not played since the preseason. And of course, as the number one pick out of Duke, and with all of his high-flying acrobatics, his aerial assaults on opposing defenders, his explosion in high school, the lore of his high school dunks, then into his 1 year at Duke, what he was going to look like in the NBA was of huge interest, but we had to wait and wait and wait some more. Zion had not played since the preseason, and so you're talking about November, December, and now almost all of January before we finally saw him on a floor. His much-anticipated return last night after the Pelicans were super careful about not bringing him back too early and making sure he physically was in the right condition to come back and play nightly in the NBA. And Zion immediately paid dividends last night. Despite the loss, 121-117, Zion Williamson electrified the crowd at Smoothie King Arena, electrified the city, and has now given Pelicans fans reason to watch each and every minute of each and every game, and a lot of NBA fans at large, too. Let's talk about his debut. Was it better than expected? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
All back to Zion. Oh, my heaven. Straight away three.
Absolutely! Good! Huh? Everybody up. Alley-oop Zion! Laying it good! From up top, Lonzo Ball. I think he's feeling it now, Daniel.
And here we go.
Now Zion again, straightaway three. Good again! Good again! Right wing three again. Got it again! You have got to be kidding me!
They don't want to guard him out there.
It was good to get back out there, obviously. But, you know, I didn't have the outcome that I wanted. So, got to get better and move on to the next.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Pelicans Radio on the call. That was Zion Williamson's debut, and the debut went something like this. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in 18 minutes of work. That was the big thing last night. He started off very slowly, seemed out of rhythm, out of sorts, only one bucket early on, and then exploded in the second half and the fourth quarter, but was quickly given a hook. In fact, Alvin Gentry had been told by the staff to even limit Zion a few more minutes than he got. He only got 18 points, but in those 18 minutes, rather, he got 22 points. And what I liked most about his debut last night, because yes, in many ways, it did feel better than expected. The guy is raining threes and keeping the Pelicans in the game and giving them a late lead and gets red hot in the fourth quarter. What I liked most about it was his 22 points in 18 minutes were not physically imposing, aggressive, explosive plays, dunks, and his natural athleticism and power being on display. It was from the outside. Zion hit 8 field goals, but 4 of them from beyond the arc. He was knocking down jumpers last night. He was a perfect 4 of 4 from 3-point range. And his alley-oop was really a layup. He also had a putback. It was not about simply overpowering opponents. And I think that's where there's always been, to me, a misconception about his game. That he's so big, so strong, so athletic, he overpowers you. That he's just a dunking machine. But last night proved that Zion's return was not about dunking at all. There were no windmill slams. There were no power rim rocking jams. There were no slam dunks. It was the agility and the touch of the outside shot that was what gave Zion his points last night and lifted up the Pelicans. Again, they lose the game. Zion frustrated, but there was a bigger picture at play here for the Pels. They did not want to overwork him on his way back, and I get it. If this was 20 years ago, Zion would already have been playing basketball before last night. They would not have been so careful with him. And last night, there would have been no real minute restrictions. He probably would have been just allowed to play as much as he wanted to play. And who knows what that would have been to his health long-term, his body long-term, his knees long-term. He's a big man. And the idea of losing him to foot injuries or knee injuries throughout the course of his career so that it short circuits what should be a brilliant run you want to protect against. And is the modern athlete more protected than ever before? Well, probably. Like, the modern kid is more protected than ever before. But for athletes that are worth millions of dollars, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, it makes a lot of sense. I don't mind last night the Pelicans pulling the ripcord on him early, even in a tight game. I know people wanted to see him close out last night. I don't mind it. This is not about January against the Spurs. This is about full year, full seasons, full career, full 5 years, 10 years, beyond. But again, I love that Williamson last night was not about rim-rattling jams. It was about outside and finesse moves. Plus, he had a great half-court pass from mid-court that perfectly set up his teammate. I really like that part of it from him. It was a pass to Etuan Moore that he totally set up Moore with a perfect little layup. It was not about the natural overwhelming power of Zion last night, which is a great sign because he's always going to have that as well. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, Zion, better, worse, or as expected last night?
I think as expected from a stat line, but the fact that it all came in a burst in the fourth quarter, essentially, is I think what's a little shocking. And frankly, if you're a Pelican fan, what you should really be excited about. What makes a great NBA star a great NBA star is being able to put their team on their back late in games, be able to basically will their team back into it. And that's exactly what he did in the fourth quarter in game one. So if he has that kind of pedigree and he's quiet for, obviously you want more stats for the first three quarters, but if he's going to be quiet but burst late in fourth quarters, well, that's what you're paying the guy to do. So ultimately a lot to be excited for.
I really also like that Zion is not a me guy. He's not out there thumping his chest. He has been out there doing a million commercials. You don't see him all over the place on TV. He knows he hasn't accomplished anything yet. He's a grounded kid for all of the celebrity. You could just tell he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think his teammates like him. Who knows what celebrity does to him long term? No way to know that. But right now, I think Zion feels like a grounded team-first guy for all of his hype.
You know, and on that note, very timely who you could compare him to in that, right? Because he very easily could have been in a zillion, a Zion-ilion amount of commercials.
Zion-million?
A Zion-million amount of commercials. When you're that kind of pick and he could have been making money and cash, and we would have been watching it and probably making fun of him the way we made fun of Baker Mayfield here in year two when Baker Mayfield stunk and he was in a million commercials. But you know who also could have been commercials in year one and wasn't? Patrick Mahomes, because he was sitting behind Alex Smith. It wasn't his time yet.
True.
And his agent went out of his way to say, we're going to hold back because his endorsements will come in his career. Focus on the football part of it. And now Patrick Mahomes, he could be in any commercial. He's going to be one of the biggest stars in sports now if he wins the Super Bowl, not just football. And if Zion could go down and follow that year one Patrick Mahomes and burst on the scene after, I think that's a good way to follow it and be a true star in this world.
Yeah, I would be optimistic. It would be very encouraging if these athletes were learning from the guys before them of how to navigate the modern media and the modern world of social media. You know, LeBron and Dwayne Wade, that generation of superstars figured it out. Those guys kept their nose clean off of the basketball floor, even Carmelo Anthony to that degree, while he's not considered a champion like those other two guys. None of those guys got into trouble off of the floor, away from basketball. They knew how to navigate the media for the most part, and they realized, okay, you take advantage of this here, you try to avoid this there. And I hope that the modern athlete is realizing, getting agent advice, personal advice, family advice, whatever it is, you don't need everything right away. It will come. Here's the game plan. Here's the blueprint. Sit back on the endorsements rookie season. Wait until you've accomplished something. Once you do, it'll come in bunches. Don't fight with people on social media. Don't go after people in the media or fans. It's not going to help you. It's why the Kevin Durant thing doesn't really make much sense, because everybody else, it seems like, of his generation, Steph Curry, et cetera, have figured that out. Those guys don't get into trouble off the floor, and those guys also don't engage in ridiculous criticisms of their games much, you know, but KD has never quite gotten that. He doesn't really realize that you don't have to do that. So I'm hoping that Zion walks that same path. But I really like the head on his shoulders. And one of the things that Coach K continually espoused last year was that Zion is about the team. It was obviously all about him from an attention standpoint, but he never wanted it to be about him. And we would expect that from a guy that is a one-name star already and was in college, and everybody paid a ticket to see him, not Duke, to see him. And it's pretty cool that he didn't make it about him when he easily could have. Last night, stirring debut for Zion in a loss, 121-117, but he has 22 points in 18 minutes. 855-212-4CBS. What'd you think of Zion's debut? Better, worse, or as expected? 855-212-4CBS. When we return, to the Big 12 get the punishments right in the brawl from two nights ago? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You can always watch the show at watchda.com. That's free. You know, a lot of places you are asked to sign up for something, insert your cable provider, perhaps pay for the service. Oh, no, not here. It's all free all the time. Go to watchda.com on your phone. It's just like watching the show on TV, on your phone, on your tablet, on your desktop, your laptop. It's the future of sports radio. It's watching it on TV. The wizard of watchda.com right now, pulling the levers, pressing the buttons.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing well. And yourself? Our toll-free line, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy!
Good morning, DA. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing so well. Kansas forward Silvio D'Souza will miss 12 games, as decided on by the Big 12, for his role in the brawl, Kansas against Kansas State. He was the guy that blocked the DeJuan Gordon layup and then stood over him and taunted him, and then also decided to pick up a stool and think about swinging it.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
How are you? I'm well. Now, he was the one that got hit hardest. Jayhawks' David McCormack gets a 2-game ban. James Love gets 8 games. Antonio Gordon misses 3 games. Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby Big 12, says this kind of behavior cannot be tolerated. These suspensions reflect the severity of last night's events. D'Souza acknowledged on his Twitter account that he displayed highly unacceptable behavior that was a poor representation of my team as well as my own character.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
How are you? Yeah, I'm sure that when Silvio D'Souza, a sophomore in college who was born in Angola, takes to Twitter, his first thought is, I should write how highly unacceptable my behavior was and how much of a poor representation this was for my team as well as my own character. Definitely not written by the university. Definitely not. I put the Kansas reputation at stake because of a moment of weakness and inconsideration.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
How are you? What I find remarkable about this is that D'Souza's got to be tossed for the rest of the season. He's got to be tossed. You can't have him come back and play in the NCAA tournament. I mean, what kind of punishment is suspending a guy for the regular season? But if your team makes the NCAA tournament, you know, the important games, yeah, you can play in those.
Yo.
How does it make sense to suspend a guy for all of the games he doesn't really care about playing in, but then allow him to play in the Final Four national championship game, which is on the table considering Kansas is the number three team in the country?
D.A., he didn't actually throw the stool.
I mean, come on.
Or hit anyone with it. Now, he let it be taken out of his hands. He realized the mistake he was about to make, and he let someone rip it from him.
So, Dick Vitale, who is, at this point, a crazy man. He really is. I mean, oh, my God, take the stool out of DeSilvio. DeSilvio's hands. You can't have it.
I know, bro.
Destructive dandy here. He says he should be kicked out of college basketball for life. No, that's ridiculous. But all you're doing is suspending him through the end of the regular season. So am I correct in saying that he is eligible for the Big 12 tournament as well?
That is correct.
I mean, the guy started an enormous brawl in the handicap section of the arena and picked up a stool to potentially swing it at somebody like Tugboat the wrestler. And you are telling me that he is eligible for the Big 12 tournament?
Of course he is. He did not hit anyone with the stool. Threatening with a stool is one thing. Hitting someone with it is another thing.
So had he climbed to the top buckle like Superfly Snuka and put his arms up in the air and almost jumped down on people.
Right.
But decided not to. You know, hey, at least you didn't follow through with your impulse there. The man picked up a stool, a metal stool, and was about to have it crashing on somebody's head. And they're like, hey, you know what? We'll let you play in all of the games that matter this year. You just can't play against Oklahoma State in early February.
Isn't this kind of a problem that we're too reactive and not proactive to things? What if in 8 games, when he comes back in the NCAA tournament, somebody ticks him off and that impulse doesn't go off and he does smash the stool?
Well, he's apologized on Twitter, so I suppose that...
But again, he obviously has some kind of anger impulse in him that don't you want to prevent that and really send a message? Does 12 games send that message?
I mean, he's going to be playing in a far more intense atmosphere in the Big 12 championship or in March Madness in the Big Dance than he was 2 nights ago against K-State in a 22-point blowout win. I mean, also think about this. He gets 13 games, so he's suspended through the end of the regular season for picking up the stool. Had he swung the stool but not hit anybody, what would have happened?
We would have added on the Big 12 tournament.
Okay. No, seriously, if he would have swung the stool and not hit anybody, he's definitely done for the season.
Has to be done for the season, and he would have some kind of meeting with the Big 12 next year to, you know, figure out whether he's learned his lesson.
Oh, he's not going to be in college next year. Don't worry about that part of it.
The swing definitely gets him done for the season. Had he swung and connected with anybody, that's when his eligibility is totally over. He does not play college basketball ever again.
Right, but you say that, but if you're an NBA team, are you taking a chance on a guy who now just missed the rest of the year for swinging a stool? He might have to try to come back to college at that point.
But I'm saying that they could rule him ineligible college. So I'm saying you go from banned for life if you made contact, banned for the season if you made a swing and didn't have contact, by raising it above your head and thinking about taking a swing, 13 games, you're back for the Big 12 title. You're back for the Big 12 tournament and March Madness. That seems kind of light.
Or it makes total sense in terms of college basketball, which never makes sense. So I'm surprised. I'm with you. I thought this was the end of... He was done for this year. I thought that was the fair way to go because I don't think there's that much of an ocean between picking up a stool to hit someone and actually hitting someone.
It was pulled out of his hand.
Right, exactly. He didn't go, oh, I probably should put this down. He was saved by a flying assistant coach coming, diving across
him. So, like, had he brought a chainsaw into the arena and revved it up, at least he didn't actually use the chainsaw.
But also on that note, if this happens in November, Is it still 13 games, or right. is it wiped for the rest of the season? Like, where are they coming up with this baseline of games? Is it strictly, this is just what's left in the season?
Or what happens if this was the final game of the regular season? Is right. he suspended only for the next game?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the calendar did them this favor here.
Absolutely.
If it was November, I don't know that they would have gone as far as saying the rest of the regular season, but they're in kind of a sweet spot now where 12 games sounds like a lot and it takes them to the end of the regular season. But again, it lets him come back when they actually need him.
I mean, I know you mixed the arsenic, but at least you didn't put it in anybody's cup. So it's only 13 games. You can come back. How weird is this going to be in March when we're talking about Silvio D'Souza playing again? This is going to be so awkward.
And well, please spare us all the awkward, like, returning stories. I hate when, like, guys come back from things that they shouldn't have to come back from, and we play it as if they're this, like, returning hero. Like, the guy thought about committing a felony on Tuesday night.
Decapitating somebody.
Right, so, like, let's not celebrate him when he comes back with a double-double against Texas Tech in the beginning of the Big Ten tournament.
But get him out. Aren't we sort of about to go through this in a similar way where is anybody on that Fox broadcast of the Super Bowl going to discuss Tyreek Hill's offseason as he's catching passes and a star in this game?
Likely not. Yep. Likely not.
So isn't that kind of embarrassing for the NFL? This is a similar situation. When he comes back, are we going to ignore it the way the NFL is going to ignore Tyreek Hill?
And let's face it, Nance ain't talking about Silvio D'Souza picking up a decapitation chair when he's playing in the Final Four.
No, he's rushing to give him his tie.
There's no way we bring this up as a CBS network. There's no way that...
You know what, though? I want to live in a world where Silvio D'Souza deserves Nance's tie on the first Monday in April, and Nance needs to make a value judgment on giving it to him or not.
And is that considered a weapon?
Nance hands over the tie. He takes it, starts strangling Nance with it. Ah! Ah! Die, Jim! Die!
Have you noticed, by the way, that there is a Jim Nance Vineyard Vines line of clothes now? Am I slow to this, or is it brand new?
No, I didn't realize this.
So it's new, and it even has a promotional credit at the end of the game. It says parts of the wardrobe provided by Jim Nance for Vineyard Vines.
Amazing.
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 Hello, friends.
If there's anybody that needs a Vineyard Vines line, it would definitely be Jim Nance.
I mean, there's never been a more perfect connection of person and brand.
Jim Nance of CBS Sports.
All right. Andrew Bogish, he has those dulcet tones. He is in. He's a kind sir. He likes to do headlines. We said, sure, let's do them. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, D.A. Those headlines are sponsored by the NFL. Throughout the 100th season, the NFL invited teams, fans, and players to huddle for 100 by volunteering in their community. Every minute counts. Enter yours at NFL.com/huddle for 100. Together, we'll create a legacy that kicks off the next 100 years. If Zion had a good right knee, he would have made his NBA debut back on opening night in October. But surgery made us wait until last night, and therefore, we couldn't concentrate on one of the more anticipated homecomings of this NBA season. TJ Warren back in Phoenix last night, where
Huge.
It all began.
Huge.
The Pacer scored 25 in a 112-87 victory.
Definitely felt good to come back to a place where I spent my first 5 years. Like I said before, they gave me my start, the start of my career. So I'm very grateful for that. But it felt good to get a win.
If only it could have worked out in Phoenix. 5 years there for Warren, traded to the Pacers this offseason.
Such a baller move by you right there. That is such a stealth baller move.
Yeah.
To last night, after everything that happened, lead with TJ Warren's return in your headlines. That is really thumbing your nose at everything that people expect, and I love it.
Well, I mean, you gave the actual Zion recap to start the show, so I wasn't going to do it now. I'll probably do it later on. If I thought sneaking TJ Warren's tearful return to Phoenix last night.
We just mapped out 4 hours of a radio show. And TJ Warren's return did not even be, wasn't even brought up for a second.
Which is the correct way to go about it.
And you led the headline with it.
Not one of us would know TJ Warren if he fell on us either.
Nobody, who knew he was a Sun or a Pacer?
Nobody realized TJ Warren had returned to anywhere last night, and you led the headlines with it.
Not even TJ Warren. This place looks familiar. Oh, I used to play here.
Wait, this is my comeback? Oh, wow.
Talking Stick Arena, a buzz for TJ Warren. As for
all
Zion,
the media descended upon Talking Stick Arena to the heavily anticipated T.J. Warren return.
When you think big January basketball, you think Pacers Suns as well.
By the way, this is why I can't believe Taz of the Moose did not stay in here during Bogus's headlines. It's because things like that happen, and people are just like, wow, did Bogus just lead with the T.J. Warren return? And nobody's in here. It's like, if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it?
Yeah, well, they had to make their urgent care appointments to make sure to take care of the flu.
Yeah, they're in triage. My audience those mornings was Pete. If Pete laughed, I knew things were going well.
I laughed a lot at your updates.
Thank you, Pete.
You can only imagine management also. Well, why is Bogus leading with T.J. Warren?
What is he doing?
As for Zion, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in 18 minutes and 18 seconds. 17 of those points, including 4 threes, came in the fourth as his Pelicans cut a 12-point Spurs lead down to 1. But Zion was at his minutes limit, so he sat the final 5 minutes, and San Antonio won 121-117, 32 points and 14 boards for LaMarcus Aldridge. The Jazz stayed hot, 129-96 at the Warriors. That's 13 wins and 14 outings. The Celtics, their second consecutive blowout, 119-95 over the Grizzlies, but Jason Tatum did injure his groin in the third quarter after scoring 23. The Lakers took care of the Knicks, 192. The Raptors down the Sixers, 107-95. OKC 120, Orlando 114. And in Atlanta, the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, or Pat Beverly. Trae Young was out for the Hawks, so some new faces made the big plays.
20 seconds to go in the game. Brandon fakes. He drives. Throws it up. And good! Brandon Goodwin! Brandon Goodwin! Brandon Goodwin, folks! Norcross, Georgia, 102-95, Hawks lead.
Steve Holman on Hawks Radio. We didn't know what team T.J. Warren was on. We didn't know Brandon Goodwin was in the NBA. He scored all 19 of his points.
Amazing!
Yeah. To rally Atlanta to a 102-95
Goodwin
victory.
Goodwin had a 19-point fourth quarter?
That Goodwin, yeah.
Wow.
I know. You saw him star in the G League, and you said, where is this in the NBA? And there it was last night.
We've been waiting a long time for Goodwin to explode in the fourth.
Yeah, I thought his first name was Brian. Highlight said Brandon, so there we are. College hoops last night, as it is a 12-game suspension for Kansas forward Silvio D'Souza for Tuesday's brawl with K-State. That does take D'Souza out for the rest of the regular season. Three others also suspended, including K-State's James Love. He got 8 games. On the floor, number 6, Louisville fought off Georgia Tech, 68-64. Number 10, Seton Hall topped Providence, 73-64. And number 16, Auburn snapped out of a 2-game funk, beat South Carolina, 80-67. We now have 5 years to decide if Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. The Giants QB is calling it quits after 16 seasons. 2 Super Bowl MVPs. Only 4 others have accomplished that. Cardinals wideout Larry Fitzgerald late to the T.J. Warren game, only now buying a small stake in the Phoenix Suns. And Hollywood, Florida police have issued an arrest warrant for Antonio Brown. It's 1 count of felony burglary with battery. Brown and his trainer allegedly assaulted a moving truck driver over the $4,000 fee for said driver moving Brown's property from California to Florida. The Mets have stumbled upon their new manager. Quality control coach Luis Rojas will replace the departed Carlos Beltran. Rojas, 38 years old, 2020 will be his 14th season in the organization. Now, bear with me. He is Rojas. Mm-hmm. His dad is Felipe Alou.
Yeah.
His brother is Moises Alou.
Yeah.
Long story short, when the Alou family, Felipe and his two brothers, I guess when they made the trip to baseball.
I love where this is going.
Someone gave, Alou is a maiden name in their family, but somehow was attached to them as their last name. They didn't change it. Neither did Moises, but Luis is using their correct last name, which is Rojas.
Whoa.
Which is why he's related to them, but you wouldn't know it by just looking at their names.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, one of the royal families of baseball.
Correct.
Matty Alou, Felipe Alou, Moises Alou, generations of Alous that have been, I mean, superstars in baseball.
Yeah, we've been lied to. Their last name is Rojas.
For all of these years, the Alou family are not actually Alous.
Yeah, I mean, they are Alous to a certain extent, but their legal last name is Rojas.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was stunned to a news when I read all of this.
Now, is Luis Rojas part of another arm of the Alous that are a bunch of Rojases?
No.
Cookie and Mel?
The story that I read, if I'm understanding it correctly, like on a piece of paper, it said Alou was like a maiden name in the family. And I guess people here in America not understanding the naming construction left Alou as their last name, and then Felipe just decided not to change it. They just went with it. But then, for whatever reason, Luis okay. Rojas uses the correct last name.
This is absolutely fascinating because myself, Bogish, and Bilotti are all Mets fans here.
Yeah.
Would you feel better about the hire if it was Luis Alou?
Well,
okay.
Yeah, I probably, at least when I met him,
I think I would.
Began, oh, okay, fine. Now at least I know who he is.
I think if it was Luis Alou, I'd be like, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Bilotti?
Yeah, I feel better about it now knowing that.
Okay. Okay,
for
so
sure.
Now I kind of do as well. Like, he's an Alou. That's a big deal.
He should know baseball.
I mean, all of the Alous have been amazing.
Yeah.
That's a lineage of royalty.
Was it Moises that used to relieve himself on his hands because he didn't use batting gloves and it, like, toughened his skin? Was that the story?
I believe that's correct.
So Luis, what I would assume, is that same level of toughness, right, as a manager?
Wait a minute. Moises Alou used to urinate on his hands?
Remember he had no batting gloves?
Yes. If that's the case, why wouldn't Steve Bartman back away when Alou approaches there?
Yeah, apparently that's exactly right. That toughened up his skin, made calluses or something
right,
like that.
Right, or he thought it helped.
Yeah.
It's a placebo effect.
Honestly, everybody was just killing the Luis Rojas hire. Oh, no
who
sizzle,
is this guy?
No steak. Who is this guy? He's a nobody. If it was Luis Alou, everybody would be like, oh, great hire.
Yeah.
Felipe. So that's Felipe's son.
Felipe's son, Moises' brother.
I like this guy.
I'm in.
Are you kidding me? You just killed the idea of Steve Belichick taking over the Patriots. Now you like this guy because he's from Moises Alou's family?
Well, two differences.
No, that's a glass house.
Steve Belichick has a rat tail. Okay, that's a big deal in my book.
Do you even know what Luis Rojas looks like?
Well,
it looks like Moises Alou.
He is also, yeah, exactly. Alou's a very admirable family. Don't you agree versus the Belichicks? I mean, Bill, you can't swing a dead cat and trust him to pick it up.
All right. Like, you can't trust him, but I'm trusting him to win.
No. And Steve Belichick also, rat tail, looks like the guy that's all hopped up a Mountain Dew code blue at the 7-Eleven at 2 a.m. trying to get money out of the ATM, and you don't know why? I don't want Steve Belichick anywhere near. I've seen Luis Rojas at least raise through the ranks for like 20 years
right.
in the organization. He's been there. He's done the grind.
I guess. I just wish that he was in Binghamton the same time Jacob Wilkins was so we could get a real finger on the pulse there.
That is fair. That is fair. Okay, Luis Alou is the new manager of the Mets.
And on day four of the Australian Open, Simona Halep, Angelique Kerber, Dominic Thiem have won so far today. Rafael Nadal is on court right now. DA?
By the way, we should not make fun of TJ Warren too much. He was the ACC Player of the Year at NC State.
Well, whatever you say.
So he's a really good basketball player.
NC State's in the ACC?
The pork store, Saturday nights.
No longer. Defunct. Closed for business. When we come back here on the show, would a mascot, especially one in Philly, punch a 13-year-old?
Yes.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I look at the clips of you guys, and I could listen to you guys talk for hours.
No, you smell butts.
That's all, folks.
DA, that is.
You're right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
49 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show is available across the CBS Sports Radio network and all of our wonderful affiliates. Also, listen to us on Sirius XM, channel 206 every single day. Channel 206. So Gritty, the Flyers mascot, being investigated right now for allegedly punching a 13-year-old fan back in November, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. The teen and his father waited an hour to get a photo with Gritty, the Flyers mascot, as part of a Flyers season ticket holder event. Pops told the Inquirer that his son patted Gritty on the head after the picture was snapped, prompting the, quote, googly-eyed fuzz monster to take a running start and punched my son as hard as he could. Pops Greenwell decided not to renew his ticket package and brought his teenage son to the chiropractor a week later for back pain and diagnosed with a back bruise. He said he has tried to get the team to apologize and pay for medical bills. In an email to ownership at the Flyers, Pops Greenwell complained about a, quote, lousy picture before raising the issue of the alleged mascot punch. In a Facebook post, Pops Greenwell wrote, "This could have been handled so simply, but they tried to bribe me not to speak about it. The Wells Fargo Center refused to let me see the video of it, and the police had to get involved in it to get it. They tried to get me to drop it by offering tickets and all I can drink passes at one of the bars there. I know it was not correct for my son to harmlessly tap him on the head, but for a Flyers employee to throw a full punch at someone with his back turned and hurt a 13-year-old boy is assault, unprofessional, and unacceptable to the organization." Okay, let's pick this apart here. Number one, how at a team event with season ticket holders taking pictures is Gritty taking a running start and punching a 13-year-old? Where is he running from?
Also, if that is the reaction to being pet on the back of the head, how long did Gritty have to wait for the kid to walk away to realize I didn't like that to then do a running start punch?
Also, you're a mascot. You get tapped on the head every day, all day by everybody. I mean, that's the only thing people do is tap you on the head, pat you on the top of the head, pat you on the back, pull your tail. That's exactly what you're there for. So suddenly that guy's going to freak out in the mascot outfit and punch a 13-year-old kid. On top of that, he's taking pictures all day. There's cameras all over the place. There's fans waiting in line. He's suddenly going to take a running start and punch a kid in the back with all those cameras and fans around?
And not in a playful way, like running up like, oh, you got me, I'm going to punch you. Also, the fact, I'm sorry, that he had to go to the chiropractor for this punch. Is Mike Tyson playing Gritty the mascot?
So that's the other smoking gun here. You're taking your 13-year-old kid to the chiropractor for a back bruise after a mascot punched you. There is so much padding on the hand of a mascot. There's no way you got to go to the chiropractor.
Right, and there's no way he got proper arm extension in that suit to really deliver great leg power. That chiropractor thing was, I'm looking for a hammy out here.
And when Pops Greenwell, the dad, complains about a lousy picture, you're complaining about the quality of the picture before you even bring up that Gritty punched your son? Give me a break.
Look, I hate to call out any of our listeners like this, but we all know the type of person this is.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Gotta go to the season ticket holder event because the mascot's there and we need a picture with the 13-year-old. Then the moment the mascot does something that could be in fun or could be good for a good laugh, you have to now run to a doctor to over-exaggerate the problem, probably take the social media to tell everybody the problem, only to turn around and then pull your season tickets, play victim, and be looking for a hand-me-out after. We know that kind of person this is. I am Team Gritty here.
Mm-hmm. My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
And you'll never see me coming.
There's no way I believe this, Dad. No, not one part of this sounds valid. Not one part of this sounds legitimate. It does create a great poll question, though. And we will come back here at the top of the hour and give you the poll question of the day regarding Gritty the mascot and his behavior here. Also, Eli Manning is going to retire. What will his legacy be outside of New York? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.